Fleming in the Morning on AM 1300 KGLO.
Your hometown news station, AM 1300 KGLO, and it is time right now for the Corporate Farmer Program, and we've got Chad Hansen with us on our KGLO live line. Chad, how are you?
Tim, you know, listen to the build up there with Dolph, you know, making the calls makes me kind of excited, and then I look out the window and it's a nice brisk morning and kind of gets you feeling like fall, don't it, with that those two things going on?
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, let's go.
Maybe excited until they kick, you know, then the excitement may go away pretty quick. Ohio State's going to be pretty tough, but yeah.
With the way everything went this last week in college football, Chad, I mean, Ohio State is the best team in the country.
Yeah, they're right up there. I tell you, Michigan doesn't look half bad. And Tennessee, you know, taking out Alabama, they look like they can be pretty tough, too. So
I worry about Tennessee, though, since they've got to have a fundraiser to pay for their goalposts. So,
yeah. Well, I was there up in Minnesota when we hauled them out of the Metrodome there, so you know, those are fun times for sure.
Oh, I was there too. Yeah, it's, you know, the craziness of college football, but seeing Tennessee with all those people on the field, all I could think about was that is the last place I would want to be.
Yeah,
wow,
for sure. But you know, it's, those guys get excited, and usually they've got probably these days a little liquid courage in them when they are at those ball games. So, you know, they like to get out there and have some fun, for sure.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Oh, my. For sure, for sure. Well, we better get to work here and talk a little bit about what's happening at Corporate Farmer this week. What are we talking about with your clients?
Oh, always exciting stuff. You know, we've got plenty of farmers out there that are trying to, you know, continue harvest, get to the end of harvest, you know, probably all different places along that curve. You know, and for us, this is the time of the year to kind of get things caught up. We had the extended due date for individual tax returns. There was normally it's October 15th. You know, you get a 6-month extension from April 15th, and then with that falling on the holiday, Monday was the deadline for those returns. So a few kind of things to tidy up and make sure everything gets taken care of all right. And you know, basically what that does is signal the complete end for us of 2021, and now we can put all of our attention on 2022, and you know, as our farmers start to kind of wind down in the fields, obviously they also turn their attention to their tax issues and start to kind of formulate the end of the year plans. And we also get more information from the IRS. One of those things being some of this cost of living adjustments. Specifically here recently, we got it for Social Security, and that's something that, you know, those cost of living adjustments haven't really meant a whole lot the last several years because, let's face it, inflation was pretty low. And then, you know, this past year with the adjustments we've seen to inflation, now we start to kind of see some of these numbers change significantly. And Social Security is always something, I think, that whether maybe you're on Social Security, obviously that has some importance to what you're going to see in your monthly checks in 2023 when that kicks in. Or, you know, if you're paying Social Security, whether that be as a wage earner or for our farmers and other self-employed individuals through the self-employment taxes they pay as part of their income tax. You know, it's something that's kind of important and can have a big effect on things. And so, you know, the Social Security adjustment was 8.7%, which is huge, you know, in comparison to some of the previous years. We've seen those probably average between 1% and 2% adjustments. So for those people on Social Security, they're going to see a pretty significant bump in their benefits, which is good. I mean, it helps them keep up with the higher costs of things like, you know, maybe medicine, or maybe it's just you know, utilities and groceries and fuel and all the things that they spend, you know, on their monthly check on. And then another thing that's part of that component is that we saw a 8.9% change in the wage inflation part of what we pay Social Security on. And so what that means is that there's a cap on what we're paying into Social Security on as a wage earner, or, you know, again, as a self-employed individual. And that means that if we're over that income level, that we're gonna stop paying into Social Security at that point. We've kind of reached the maximum, and for some people that's a relief. For others, you know, you continue to pay Medicare beyond that point in time, which, you know, is the much smaller component of the self-employment tax. We've got a total self-employment tax currently of 15.3%, and out of that, 12.4% is Social Security, with the remainder being the Medicare portion. So, you know, again, we've kind of talked a little bit in the previous weeks about these inflation changes on different kind of things like tax brackets. We talked about, I think, a few weeks ago, and you know, the standard deduction and things like mileage rates and those things. And this is the first kind of indication of what we can expect for the next year for Social Security.
Yeah, that jumped up on people pretty quick, and I know it had. I had several people talking about that. That's going to make a significant difference, as you said, into next year.
It sure does, and going forward, you know, all of these things kind of impact our bottom line and our financial planning, especially for those that are on a fixed income. And I think that those are, you know, discussions that we have as we get, you know, as our clients kind of reach closer to that retirement age, and we start to look at some of those things and how, you know, being on maybe more of a limited income might impact our decision of whether we're ready to kind of pull the plug and move towards retirement, or whether we need to keep working. So, you know, we typically, I guess you and I on here talk so much about, you know, the tax planning part of things and, you know, what decisions and things like that we have to make in order to be kind of where we want to be tax-wise. But also, you know, there's the other component of it with our estate planning and with our retirement planning. So, you know, where do we want to be this year? We're closing in on the end of 2022. And where do we want to be tax-wise? Well, you know, maybe retirement is a few years out in the road. That's another thing that we want to be discussing at the same time, because some of these plans overlap or impact one another. And then, you know, sooner or later, unfortunately, we're all going to probably come to an end, and that means that we need to also consider our estate planning. And so, you know, one thing I think that's maybe a little unique and nice about the way we approach things is we look at all three of those components at the same time. You know, I think in a lot of instances, you probably go to your tax person and you talk about your tax planning for the year, and then you schedule an appointment to go talk to your attorney to kind of consider your estate plan, and then maybe you go to your financial planner, your investment guy to kind of talk about retirement. And, you know, often those people maybe don't communicate enough with one another to make sure all those plans kind of meet somewhere in the middle. And, you know, as far as how we approach things, you know, by having those relationships with your other advisors and also being able to touch, you know, each and every one of those stages along the way and discuss it with you and explain things to you, you know, where you can understand it. I think, you know, we try and help you with all that and make sure that all those pieces are kind of working together so that you're doing what's best, you know, for every stage of your life that's coming up.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's always good to look back at those things, too, and kind of reevaluate ongoing because things change as we move along.
Unfortunately, they do. I know most people with their estate plan would like to think it's a one-time do-it-and-forget-it type of deal, but obviously, you know, there's been significant changes on that front that we've talked about, you know, specifically with increasing the estate exemption amount. You know, those were some pretty significant changes. Also, with the portability of that exemption to a spouse, and you know, I mean, things change throughout our lives. Maybe we lose a spouse, we get a divorce, maybe our kids, you know, go through some changes in a divorce in their situation, or maybe they have additional kids that create more heirs, and so there's always those things that we're reevaluating as far as who is going to get a piece of the pie when we're gone. And for most of us, we're always acquiring things, right? You know, I mean, you'd be surprised as our farmers age and get into a little bit better financial position, they seem to acquire a lot more equipment in those later years. They also, you know, tend to buy more land because of the fact that they do have, you know, the vast majority of their property and things paid for, so they've got some funds to reinvest that way. And so, you know, their situation is, you know, is changing significantly from one year to the next, and it just causes a need to kind of reevaluate those things, just like, you know, from one year to the next, we kind of rip off the page and start a new year from a tax standpoint. We kind of need to think about those things each and every year. That's why we go into the doctor for, you know, our annual exam there, or medical review, and why we go to the dentist and, you know, annually, or the eye doctor, or, you know, all those various people that we try and get on our schedules once a year. I think it's important to kind of reevaluate these three financial pieces of the puzzle each and every year: your income tax situation, your retirement plan, and then obviously maybe a quick review of your estate planning to make sure that all your financial records and your financial situation is in order, just like you do with reviewing your medical situation.
Yeah, I would guess too, Chad. Maybe I'm wrong, but I would guess that sometimes you might get, when you talk, you broach estate planning with some, that might be a little difficult. Some people are hesitant to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. It is for some. I would say, you know, grouping people into you know, different categories. When I first started 20 some years ago, I think that generation was it was a real challenge to talk about some of those things because you know, they didn't want to deal with death. They also were penny pinchers because they grew up, you know, in the Depression times, either, you know, directly having that affect them or seeing what their parents went through. They also, you know, had a significant impact from the 80s for our farm clients, and so giving up any kind of control or ownership was something that was very difficult for them. And so, you know, that was probably the biggest challenge from an estate planning standpoint, was dealing with some of those question marks with that generation. I think as we kind of get to more of the current generations, I think, you know, we're just maybe a little bit more comfortable going there. We kind of know what we're dealing with, know that that is a, you know, it's a concrete, you know, end to everything that we expect at some point in time and that we need to prepare for and plan for and everything. And so, you know, it is a lot easier. I think the big thing, the biggest challenge now is not so much having that conversation. It's the fact that we're so busy and have so many things on our plate that we can talk about the plan, but then executing it sometimes gets, you know, kind of difficult because we're easily sidetracked and find other things that occupy our time. And so whether that's, you know, work or whether that's some of the play, we still got to prioritize our time and make sure that we're executing those plans once we kind of put them in place. So, you know, there's always different challenges when it comes to estate planning. And like you said, you know, for some people it still can be, you know, just discussing those kind of unfun topics. But, you know, for others, it may be another component of it, and we just got to kind of stay the course and make sure that we get all of that stuff taken care of.
Yeah, that's where you guys really, every part of the process with your clients and at Corporate Farmer, you're in it with them. It's you're a part of the partnership as you take them mm-hmm. from point A to point B, and that's a great, to me, it would be a great load off your back just to have that ahead of you, knowing that you've got guys like yourself and others at the Corporate Farmer office.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's a big component of hand-holding, you know, of kind of reminding people when things are due and when they need to get their taxes finished up and kind of the deadlines and stay in the course and staying on time with a lot of those things. And like I said, it seems to me as time goes on, we get pulled in like so many directions, probably because there's so many diversions and things to spend our time on, whether that's, you know, our kids and all their events and activities and things like that. And then as we age, you know, we've got our friends and we've got our grandkids and their activities, and maybe we are traveling quite a bit or heading south for the winter, and it just seems like everything's grown and kind of getting to be a bigger and bigger deal around the farm, so that we have all these other distractions and things to deal with. And so, you know, having us there to kind of be that person that kind of taps you on the back, or that little, you know, alarm that we set in our phones to remind us of our appointments, that's kind of the role that we try and take for our clients is, you know, whether that be sending out an email notification or making a call or sending out some paperwork that needs to be completed so that we can stay on those timelines. Seems like that is something that becomes more and more important that we provide to our clients, as opposed to just saying, well, I guess you missed it, you know, I'm sorry, it's not our job, you know. That doesn't go over too well, so no. I guess it's better to kind of tap you on the shoulder and remind you that we got to get this wrapped up rather than you know, blame you for not getting it done on a timely manner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Hey, Chad, if folks are listening right now and they're saying, you know, it just makes sense for us. We've been thinking about it. We just need to go for it and get set, and people are winding down, as you just said, this year, now getting set and looking ahead. How do they get in touch with you at Corporate Farmer?
Yeah, I think this is the best time of the year. You know, people always say when would be a good time to start, but this is the time when we're doing all that planning and making all those decisions. And so give us a call, 800-472-6931, or you can always check us out online at corporatefarmer.com.
Chad, before I let you go, you think the Hawkeyes can stay close to Ohio State?
What's close? I think, you know, we were all kind of guessing the point spread and thinking maybe it was going to be somewhere around 30. What did it come out at, like 28.5 or something like that? So, I mean, we weren't too far off. I think that the Hawks can keep it somewhat respectable. It's going to be tough for them to even have a chance, I think, late in the game to, you know, just win because of the fact that they're just – really struggling to score points and to score touchdowns specifically. So in Ohio State, some people think this might be the best offense, maybe even, you know, in the history of college football. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. Good defense, good offense. Hopefully we can keep it close.
That's what the one thing I heard this week, then I'll let you go. They said Ohio State probably has the third best offense in the NFL.
That's probably true. And some of these NFL games, I know, like especially Thursday and Monday nights, haven't been super high scoring,
no.
So they're probably right.
Hey, Chad, have a great week. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Yep, thanks.
Chad Anson with us, President of Corporate Farmer on AM 1300 KGLO.